Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Pierre Croft, Head of User Experience at Decibel Insight. Hello, Pierre.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Tell us a little bit about Pierre Croft and what you do at Decibel.
Sure. I started out as a graphic designer, gradually moving on into sort of web design, and now I work on user experience. So less kind of Photoshop and more sort of prototyping and organizing and planning and stuff like that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Today we're going to be talking about IA, and not to be confused with AI, which is artificial intelligence. No, it's IA, which is information architecture.
That's
And the benefits of card sorting. What are the benefits of organizing data for your website?
Well, basically, card sorting is a way of involving users in determining your IA. So if you've ever made a sitemap, that's basically information architecture. It's the way in which information on your site is organized, and also how it's classified and the hierarchy, you know, what belongs where, and that kind of thing. So navigation is a really important part of any website, if not one of the most important. And so any time you get users to help you organize it can only be a good thing. And card sorting is a really cheap and simple way of getting users involved with your information architecture. So it's intuitive and user friendly.
Yeah. What's the history of card sorting, Pierre? Where did it come from?
Well, it's been used for a while in psychology. So sort of, you know, if you think back to sort of the Victorian era, I guess, people would use card sorting to test people's memory and to test, you know, their reaction time and things like that. Yeah. So quite a different purpose to what it's used in the modern sense. But I guess when, you know, during the sort of 70s and 80s, when software design became a bit more mainstream, they saw its use as a kind of an organizational tool. And so it kind of grew out of that. And then it's been used sort of since the 90s in its current sort of modern form.
Yeah.
to organize information architecture and involve users.
I love the idea of card sorting because I'm a developer, and in my past we have used cards, and I always used to sort of maintain that the best design systems were always designed on the back of an envelope.
Yeah.
They never had a fancy sort of, you know, sort of software-driven drawing. It was always bits of scraps of paper sort of blue-tacked to the wall and stuff.
Yeah,
and
very low-fi.
The lower the fi, the better.
Yeah, I think that's right. And people can relate to that a lot easily, I think. You know, people know what a pen is and what a bit of paper is, and they know how they go together and how to use them. So it's very quick for people to grasp, and they know, you know, they see pieces of card on the table, and they just arrange them. And that's one of the advantages of card sorting is its simplicity. It's really easy to pick up. You know, anyone can do it, from young people to old people, whether they understand technology or whether they don't. You know, everyone can sort of participate. So the barrier to entry is really low, and that's one of the really great things about it.
So the idea of using cards then to sort out information architecture, what specific problems, Pierre, does it solve?
Basically, it's a way of making your information architecture intuitive. So in the past, what would happen with a lot of websites is the decisions about the website would be made by either the designer or by the client, and users of the actual final product would rarely get a say. Now, that's sort of changing a lot over the past few years. Now we're starting to do the discipline of user experience is really based around involving users. And card sorting is another way of you can involve users earlier on in planning a site. So by involving users in a card sorting session, you can kind of understand how intuitive your navigation is, or whether your content isn't labeled very well, or if people find it difficult to understand where things go, or you know, things like that. And that can go a long way to improving your usability. One analogy I like to use is if you think of your website like a supermarket.
Yeah.
If visitors to a supermarket, you know, people want to find, you know, the milk or the cornflakes or whatever it might be. And so they'll start walking around and, you know, walking down the aisles trying to find what they're looking for. And if those aisles are named intuitively, they'll quickly find it. And it's no different on a website. So a visitor will come to your website with a specific goal in mind, and they'll start using the navigation. But if the navigation is confusing, then they'll just leave, basically, and they'll go to another site because, you know, another site's very easy to visit.
Yeah.
So really, that's what it's all about. It's about improving the structure of the information on your site, and doing so in a way that makes it intuitive to users.
It's interesting, actually, because we were talking about this earlier, and you mentioned testing assumptions and how card sorting helps with that as well. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so again, going back to my earlier comment about how the decisions about a site were usually made by designers or by people on the client side. So someone would, you know, and I've been involved in meetings where people go, oh, I think it should be called this, or oh no, I think it should be called that.
Yeah.
And you have these kind of round discussions roundabout, and no one really ends up in a satisfactory answer. So card sorting can really help to kind of resolve those disagreements in a site, because you can put them in front of a user and just see how they react, and they'll say, well, I don't really know what this means, or oh yeah, that makes sense to me. And so it can really resolve those little kind of disagreements and those speed bumps in the way that a lot of other user-centered techniques can as well.
And I'm presuming it will have SEO implications as well, won't it?
Indeed, yeah, definitely. SEO is a big part of it too. So making things, you know, naming your content in a way that users are likely to search for is, again, a really key advantage too.
Let's talk a little bit about case studies. I know you can't mention names, but you've been working with a couple of fairly big charities, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. So we did a project early this year for a redesign project. And the client in question had a fairly old website. They ran a number of kind of different centres around the UK and Ireland. And each of these centres had you know, staff members that would upload content quite regularly. And over time, this ended up with a section that had literally hundreds and hundreds of pages within it. And the only way of organizing it was by A to Z. So I had news articles, I had videos, I had PDFs, and a lot of it was really useful stuff. But unless you really knew what you're looking for, it was really unfriendly to browse, because the only way of organizing it was, you know, A, does it begin with A? Does it begin with B? Does it begin with C?
Crikey.
Yeah. So it was nuts. So basically, what we did was we applied a card sorting session. First of all, we started off with a content audit. So we went through with the client each of those pages and working out a lot of the stuff was duplicated. So someone from one center would upload the same news article as someone from another center, but with a slightly different title, even though the content was the same. So going through that, you know, auditing the content, working out, you know, what was out of date, what was duplicated. And then once we've whittled that down, we had a list of things that we wanted to test. So the idea with any card sorting session is try not to test too much at once. So because of the limitations of kind of the human mind and things like that, generally you want to aim for about 50 to 70 different items per session.
Yeah.
So if you've got a really, really big site, it's ideal to kind of split it up into different sessions of about 50 cards each. So we did that. We eventually got the content down to about, I think it was about 80 different cards.
Yeah.
So that was just on the upper range of the, you know, the amount of stuff you want to test for each session. And then we ran it with we ran it internally with our own staff members and ran it with other people in the office and also some users of the site that the client helped find. And we found a number of really interesting things, you know, like a lot of the pages that were in the site were labeled a certain way, you know, and that was said by the client, but no one actually, there was one page that no one understood what it meant. And so we presented that to the client and they said, well, look, you know, this is an important part of your business that people visit this page because it had a higher converting goal on there to do with donations and things. But people couldn't understand what it meant just by looking at it on a piece of card. So we said, you know, look, this is what some people have suggested as a name for this. And so again, you know, it helps to resolve those kind of those disputes that can arise when you're planning a website. And it was really, really, really useful. It can be a lot of fun for people. You know, it's interactive, it's hands-on.
Yeah, it's almost gamifying, is it?
It is, yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, so they had a great time. And you have tea and biscuits in there with you and have a bit of a chat. And, you know, it's like a nice little day out for some people. It was a really, really good one. We got that content down from about, you know, I think 700 pages down to about 80. We consolidated a lot of the pages. We renamed them.
It's almost a 90% reduction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was just, you know, a lot of the pages were just, you know, one paragraph of text on a page.
Yeah.
You know, so we identified ways of combining them. And consolidating them, and we came up with, you know, four or five kind of subheadings for each of those pages. It just made it much easier. The client was very happy. It was a really good technique to use in that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In that case, it really improved the navigation.
Really interesting, actually, because I think there's a general human characteristic, isn't there, to it's a bit like old directory structures, and I bet there's loads of websites out there like this where they just get sort of organically added to, and no one's quite sure where their bit of information should go.
Exactly. I mean,
was it a real eye-opener for the sort of when the client was sorting and looking at these cards? And
definitely. Like again, a lot of people are really surprised once they involve the, I guess, the voice of the user, if you like, and having their having their assumptions kind of challenged, and showing, you know, like your site users see things differently to you do, and a lot of them sort of go, oh wow, I never realized, you know, I never really had the idea that, you know, the way we've been doing things for so long is different to the way that we should be doing it. And now that that's the power of these kind of user-centered techniques. You see that a lot with user testing as well, when you show people videos of user tests and they just get they're very surprised by what they see.
Yes.
So it's the same thing with card sorting. The client was very kind of on board with our process once we did that.
And was this process just a standalone thing, or was it part of a bigger sort of redesign?
It was part of a big redesign, that's right. So we were involved with a complete sort of re-architecting of the site, a redesign, making it responsive, looking at all the kind of conversion goals of the site and the kind of the business aspects and the content strategy as well. As I mentioned earlier, you know, they had 19 or 20 centres around the UK, all of them uploading, you know, news articles and blogs and photos every week. Mm. So we had to kind of think about the processes behind that, the interface that those staff members would use to create that content. So it was quite a big project, but a lot of fun as well.
What were some of the other sort of benefits of this redesign?
Well, basically the main benefit was helping to get a good content strategy in place. Involving users really showed the client that their old system wasn't really working very well for them. Mm. And it helped to kind of resolve some internal disagreements that they had. You know, you had, you know, the board, if you like, of the charity had differing ideas about how to handle things. But when you show that, when you kind of gather everything together and involve users in the picture, it can really help to kind of prove one viewpoint over another, if you like, or, you know, show that one assumption is false and another one is true, in a way that doesn't resolve in any animosity, if you like, between the clients, because they can just see, you know, they see the evidence for themselves. Or our users think this way, so let's just do it. Let's just, you know, fall on that side of the argument because that's the one that makes sense.
Yeah, the user is always right.
Exactly, yeah.
So let's talk about execution then. What's the sort of the best way to execute this? What are some top tips?
Sure. Well, the recommendation would be to start small, just to, you know, get your feet wet. It's best to do it on a site where you have a fairly good relationship with the client, especially if you've never sort of done it before.
Yeah.
And also on a site that isn't too complex but isn't too simple either. So it wouldn't really make much sense to do it on, say, you know, a little 7-page brochure website.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wouldn't make sense to do it on a, you know, 700-page monster. So you've got to kind of set the target right. The next step is to kind of do an audit of all the pages. So there's a really good tool called SEO Spider.
Yeah.
And that's a free download, and you basically type in a URL and it will kind of gather all of the page titles for you. And then you can just grab those, put them in an Excel file, and then you've basically got your list of pages right there.
Nice.
At that point, you've got to make a bit of a judgment call as to which ones to include in the session. I typically, if, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the sort of the 50 to 70 card limit is really important. So if the list of pages I have is more than that, what I'll do is I'll exclude pages like Contact Us or, you know, a lot of About Us pages tend to be fairly similar, you know, privacy policies and things like that.
So you reckon that 50 to 70 cards per session is the sweet spot then?
Ideally. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you get pages that are more than that. So what you can do is split it up into two different sessions. So you'll have, you know, pages 1 to 50 and then pages 50 to 100 and run two different sessions for that. The more users you can get, the better. So the idea is that you just get all these page titles, you put them on a card, and then you basically invite users to come and just sort them in a way that makes sense to them. It's important to make sure that the visitors realize that there's no kind of right or wrong way to do it. Some people will have trouble with, you know, sorting cards. That's fine as well.
Yeah.
Because it means that, you know, there's a problem with the labeling of that card, or because they don't understand the purpose of that card or that page, which is, you know, really useful to know. So ideally you want to aim for about sort of 10 users is the kind of sweet spot for that.
Yeah.
Until you see like a trend emerging. And then, you basically just take a picture. There's a couple of ways of analyzing it. You can write numbers on the cards and do what's called a dendrogram.
Yeah.
But that's a bit of an advanced technique. Most of the time, what I do is just take a picture of what the arrangement that they've made, and then just that way I can refer to it later. And then, so once you've done your sessions, you just do a bit of analysis. You try and look for trends. One thing I should mention is that during the session, it's important to take notes about any kind of pages that they have trouble with, or any kind of comments that they make while they're sorting.
Do you normally write those on the card? Yeah.
No, I normally just write them in a notebook.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, user 5 had a trouble with where to put, you know, About Us or something like that. And that way you can see from session to session if there's any common common findings. Like if a lot of users struggled with this card, then maybe the name of it isn't right, or maybe it doesn't even need to exist at all and the content there can go somewhere else onto another page.
I see, yeah. So these are more like session notes then, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the other important thing is to, you know, to have, like with any kind of user testing, is to have, you know, cups of tea, biscuits, bottles of water, those kind of things.
But no alcohol.
Maybe if it's a Friday afternoon, you could have a bit, you know, cheeky beer or something.
Maybe it'll help the process.
Maybe it will. Not too much though. You don't want to get people to get a bit leery.
It's interesting that you mentioned about taking pictures as well. I mean, the number of times I've gone into design meetings and we've sketched something out on the whiteboard and with modern cameras, everyone has a modern camera. Everyone just takes a snapshot of the whiteboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why take notes when you can just take a picture?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the notes are there to capture insight that you might not get from a picture.
Yeah.
So things that people say or things that people do that a picture can't really capture. But the picture's just there to kind of show, you know, at a quick glance how they've arranged the content. And then that way you can sort of refer back to it and go, oh, okay, this user put that there. Okay, right. And then you look at your notes and you say, oh, okay, they did mention that they struggled a bit with that card. So
yeah. You
kind of build a fuller picture of what they were thinking.
Well, Pierre, thanks for covering this very useful sort of card sorting technique. Are there any sort of tools online that people should know about that might help with this?
Yeah, there's a few that you can use. I think the main one is called Optimal Workshop.
Mm.
And that's kind of a part of a suite of user testing tools. And what you can do is set up your cards online and then you can give people a link and they can do the card sorting in their browser. The advantage of that one is that it's really, really easy to create reports on the way that people have organized the cards. The disadvantage for me is the cost, obviously. It's not, all you need with card sorting is a couple of cards and a Sharpie, really.
And of course, you don't get the food either, do you, and the drink?
And you don't get the food and the drinks. No, that's right. Another good one that some people use is Trello. I don't know if you've...
Yes, I know of Trello because we're using it in our company, actually. Yes.
Yeah, so that's a really not a bad way either, and it's free. So there's, but the problem with online tools is, you know, some people, it's not as intuitive as moving cards around on a table. You know, you still have to kind of learn how to use the interface. And if you make a mistake, you know, how do you undo it and stuff like that?
Yes.
So there's pros and cons to each one. If you've done a few card sorting sessions and you're starting to get the hang of it, then maybe an online one. If you're doing a big e-commerce site, for instance, an online tool could be really good because, you can send it to people overseas and stuff like that. But if you're just starting out, then I think, just the in-person one is the way to go.
Yeah, if you can get everyone into the same physical room, that's always a good thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pierre, how can people find out more about you and more about Decibel?
You can go to the website, decibeldigital.com, so you can have a look at our studio and the kind of work we've done. There's a lot of great resources on card sorting online that you can look at. I've actually written an article on Smashing Magazine about it. Shameless promo.
Yes, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Cool. And there's a lot of other ones out there. So, it's a really good way to get started with sort of user-centered design techniques.
Yeah.
If you've never been involved in that sort of thing, then this is probably the easiest way to do it, to get into it.
Well, Pierre Croft, thank you very much indeed. And that's going to be it for today's show. Thank you for listening. You can find show notes at sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, and we have an email hotline, if such a thing exists, podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and the telephone hotline if you want to leave an audio message or an audio question, +441 273 256 150. That's it from me, Andy White, and it's goodbye from Pierre.
Thanks very much.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.